It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving, wandering, rambling reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Let's focus first on Lime Rock Church, where immigration attorney Glenn Formica spoke before another session of Vincenzo's Sigueras, meaning Safe Neighbors. That's the grassroots group that's working to provide support for immigrants in our region. Saturday morning, town hall at Sharon was filled to the brim to hear Sam Tannenhaus. He's an author who wrote his latest book is on Bill Buckley. And, of course, the Buckleys have deep roots in Sharon. The family, Mr. Buckley Sr., bought what is now Great Elm back in 1923. Everybody knows where that is, just on South Main Street. And, of course, everybody knows, I'm sure, hopefully, the Buckley family. And Tannenhaus, he was quite entertaining, keeping the audience really mesmerized during his speech or presentation. By the way, he was interviewed by Brian Ross, and this meeting was sponsored by the Sharon Historical Society. The talk was followed by their annual meeting. He spoke about the Buckleys with their 10 children and how they've all had different careers. We're familiar with Jim Buckley, who was a senator in New York, and Bill Buckley, who was sort of the voice of conservatism with his show Firing Line and his National Review magazine. But as Tannenhaus said over and over again, and he kept bringing it back to Sharon, which is what made it very interesting for people. He said that the conservative movement, you could say, was sort of originated in Sharon because that's where Buckley grew up. It sounds like a really interesting book. It follows Buckley through his whole career. I will say it doesn't come out until June. And then on a more... intellectual note. there is a talk on Thursday evening by a Dr. Shumita Dasgupta. She is a professor of medicine at Boston University. She's also a geneticist, and she's of Bengali descent, and has written a book about science and sort of your DNA and how it affects people's views of science. Quite frankly, it's pretty technical, but it has some very interesting insights into science. And she talks about she said it's not really, science is not anti, she talks about the oppression of science and how some people use it in ways to formulate things that really aren't using people's backgrounds and ethnicities to make conclusions that aren't always there. So that is at 6:30 at the Colonial Theater in Canaan on Thursday night. We also had Career Day at some of the schools this week. By the way, schools are closed this week for spring break. So they usually do Career Days right before the break. So Salisbury had one, and there are all kinds of interesting people who are really wonderful come to explain their careers and sort of maybe spark an interest in some of the kids in some of these careers. And Sharon had one, Sharon Center. So
what kind of careers were represented?
Okay, so we had, in Salisbury, we had a banker who talked about the stock market, which was really cute. And he gave them fake money and explained how to invest in the stock market, gave the big four companies that are the biggest, and I'm probably going to forget, it's Facebook, Amazon, Walmart, and something else. I'm sure you'd...
That can change quickly.
Yeah. And the kids, and one youngster got up and he said, "My mother regrets to this day that she didn't buy stock in Walmart." So it's kind of cute. And then, there was an athletic trainer. There was, this is in Salisbury, Will Varis, the resident trooper. There was Jason Emberline with his excavator. There were several other hairdresser variety. In Sharon, there was a pilot. There was a Michael Baldwin from Sharon Playhouse. So a wide variety of careers are put forth. And these people are really, the ones I've attended, they really do, I don't want to say get down to the kids' level, but they do speak to them in easy, understandable terms. And you can see some of the kids really getting excited about it. So I think, hats off to the school counselors who provide these days. That's Donna Begley in Salisbury and Liz Foster in Sharon.
Now, is that middle school or does it go below that?
I think it's 5 to 8.
5 to 8.
I believe, yeah.
And they talk in plain English as opposed to technicality.
Correct.
Technical terms, excuse
right.
me. See, I even tripped up on it.
But they are, some of the, small classes, so they're talking to some of times 3 or 4 kids, so
yeah.
it's hands-on and one-to-one almost, so it's neat, yeah. We really should focus more on what some of the schools are doing, because there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Absolutely, and you also, focus on, which is, some of the more lucrative trades going forward are people who know how to do things. And by this I mean what used to be in the trade school syllabus, basically.
Yeah, a lot of your hands-on, contractors,
hands-on woodwork,
construction.
Stuff like that, because I remember years and years ago, there was only one stonemason they could find to fix something at St. John the Divine. And... it's like, really? We're gonna let this? We're letting this go?
I'm always happy to see that they're doing. College is fine. Don't take me wrong on this, but it's not the answer to all work. And just like you were talking to the stonemason, that can hardly be taught in a classroom. Frankly, that's the kind of thing you learn hands on as a. What am I looking for? The term
apprentice. You remember reading Johnny Appleseed?
No.
Okay, well.
I don't read, you know that.
Well, it would have been before you decided not to read. Anyway.
I never read.
One of the points was that he was an apprentice for Paul Revere. Because Paul Revere was a renowned silversmith. And, until you know the apprentice journeyman master and what goes into those, you don't really have a sense of you don't have a sense of building of your craft or dexterity or there's a lot that goes into becoming a master. And even again, back in the day when you wanted to go to work in the entertainment business, you always started in the mailroom because you got to see the names. When there was mail, but you got to see the names, and you got to start creating a web so that you understood where all this stuff goes. And one of the, my opinion, and it's Ruth's show, so I apologize in advance, but inefficiencies of what has happened over the last 20 years is that you haven't necessarily taught, you've taught kids to, get a good offer and go do something, but they didn't go in at the bottom. And all I mean by bottom is where they could actually learn what they were going to then do. Anyway.
Yeah, you have to start low because that tells the person who's going to be your mentor and all, gives you an idea of what the skill sets are, how you react, what you do in conditions, maybe ones you don't want to be working in, like cleaning the bathroom.
Or but whatever, if you have a good run, it's a great thing. You learn how to do it anyway, and then you move on.
But today, you start out on YouTube.
Right. My favorite story around that, though, is when I decided to try to make a hand roll after watching a YouTube video, and that was the end of me. Because the guy, you know, was very, gave good explanation, and it was, you know, really good. But so I went and I took my nori and I took my rice and I did everything, and then I tried to roll the hand roll. And that was a joke.
All right.
Well, I think...
What's next?
I don't think we push enough on to vocational schools as we could.
I think that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
vocation.
There's everything has its proper place, you know, college, vocational schools, and on the job.
It's, yeah.
And I would guess to venture that 50% of the people end up in on-the-job situations learning that way. Because
yeah,
especially
well,
now because...
they're important. And
yeah.
I will say, you know, we've all had... electricians and plumbers come to our homes, and they really they are masters at what they do. Yeah,
absolutely.
Lastly, once again, somebody drove through the covered bridge, a truck that was too big. There was not a great deal of damage, but it did close the historic bridge. This is in Cornwall, obviously.
I thought that was a couple weeks ago, though.
That was last week, yeah.
Okay. They need to put a couple of poles up there with a huge steel girder at the limit, the height limit, before you get to the bridge, so they break all their stuff up before they break up the bridge.
Well, we have that here in, you know, at Bulls Bridge.
It's sad that it has to come to that because people are becoming either incompetent or not aware of their surroundings.
They can't. How many times has it been with the covered bridge? And then also, you seem to be having a spate of car accidents in Kent.
Yeah, terrible. We've had a lot of car accidents here.
There was another one, and I'm only noticing because you had alluded to one last week, and so when I first saw that one, I was like, oh, it must be the same one, but no.
Yeah, well, it comes back to, you know, the whole idea of speeding and seeking ways to slow traffic.
And being aware. Being aware of your driving and driving instead of listening on headphones to your favorite music or talking on the phone or whatever.
Playing with the internet.
You know,
well, this last one I understand. And,
this is a head-on.
Was impaired driver, we understand. So.
Impaired, how so?
Probably.
With
allegedly.
Substance.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Some substance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's no excuse.
No,
absolutely.
It's the same thing, you know. It's another form of not paying attention. I bet done too much of this XYZ. I should not be in a car.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
Especially behind the wheel.
Yep. Sure we'll be following. You know, we had that issue in Kent of trying to put in speed cameras that went really down.
Speed cameras, the only thing that it will do, I guess, is show you who... crashed as they were driving through. But, you know, if someone is impaired, I doubt that they are going to be focused on a speed camera, but that's just my opinion.
So, no.
Any more snowstorms coming, do we know?
No, it's going to be warm this week, I think. And
warming up, although, humorously, the weather is like, oh, well, it's going to be, oh, temperatures are going to plummet on. And then they pick a day during the week. Every it's always fascinating. But that snow, did snow hit the ground there? Stay there?
We had lots of snow on Saturday morning.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And that's it for the week.
All right. Well, I imagine that you will find some other interesting activities, although we should bear in mind that it is Holy Week, and it's Holy Tuesday, and Holy Wednesday, and Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, so...
Yeah, I think it's not going to be a big news week, that's for sure.
Well, you never know.
But one never knows.
That's right. Time to say goodbye, Jill.
All right. Thank you very much, Ruth, as always. This has been What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving reporter.